B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Right now from NBC Sports Philadelphia, Mr. Corey Seidman is on the line. How are you today, Corey?
I'm good, Ty. I mean, I'd rather be covering multi-homer games and late-inning comebacks than labor disputes, but, you know, all's well.
Yes, I agree with you, and I fully agree with you. Now, the owners come forward with their proposal, and it says, all right, players, a player like Mike Trout, a player that people actually tune in to see, you take an 80% pay cut with our plan, blah, blah, blah. And I think they thought the players would counter, and the players basically ignore that plan completely. Max Scherzer comes out, and Boris comes out and presents their own plan. What do you make of where the two sides are right now?
Well, first off, I can't imagine that the league thought that the Players Association was going to let that first proposal fly. Like you said, though, they probably did expect some sort of counter proposal. The logic on MLB's part with that was that there are so many more players in the lowest tier making the lowest amount of money in baseball, and those players would be close to made whole. So the thinking there could have been, all right, if the majority of players benefit from this, perhaps we can pass this through. But it doesn't make sense. You know, it doesn't make sense for a JT Realmuto to take $3 million of his $10 million salary to play half the season, risk an injury that could cost him millions of dollars in free agency. You know, there are so many different tiers of players that it does not make sense for. And I think that's why you saw Max Scherzer come out with that strongly worded statement last night. It's why Scott Boras came out with a strongly worded email to his clients this week referring to what owners are seeking as a bailout. Boras attributes a lot of this to the debt that these organizations have accrued by building around their ballparks. And, you know, that's a valid point that Boras makes. So now here we are, it's the end of the week almost, and there's really no resolution in sight. Every day that gets lost here is a day later we get toward the mid-June spring training optimism or the early July regular season optimism. And, you know, the deeper this gets, you have to start wondering, how late is the season going to start? This latest report that the players plan to counter-propose a longer season, well, why would that benefit them? It would benefit them because the more games played, perhaps there's better chance to compromise with the owners and bridge the gap between making 30% of your prorated salary versus making 100% of your prorated salary like they thought they agreed to in March.
And that's another thing I've been trying to talk to people about. They thought that this was all put to bed. And can you explain to me, Corey, why, in even a situation like this, the owners on their side are so... why won't they open the books?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the only team that has open books is the Atlanta Braves. It's only one out of 30. And, you know, looking at their books, looking at their franchise valuation of like $1.8 billion kind of lends some insight into what other similar franchises could be worth. That was part of Max Scherzer's statement last night, was that these players want the owners to open the books. They think that if the books are open, that, you know, if more information is known, the public will see that these owners can withstand the losses of the season and the players should not be the ones taking the pay cuts. However, I'd also caution that even if that were to happen, there still would probably be like if the books come out and they paint a different picture, there will be accusations that they're inaccurate, you know? So I don't think you're ever going to really find a common ground with that. I also don't think it's going to happen. I think that before the owners do that, they would figure out a different sort of agreement. You know, one proposal that I saw laid out in the New York Post that made a lot of sense, in an elongated season, close to 100 games, and raising the minimum wage the next two seasons. I think something like that makes a lot of sense because it protects owners a little bit more this year, but it gives players something the next 2 years. There's also the idea of deferred money. You know, you could tell a player like JT Realmuto, for example, okay, you're going to make 30% of your prorated salary, but we'll give you the difference of a couple million dollars within the next couple years. Maybe something like that works. That first proposal from the league, you know, they had to know that it was going to be received unfavorably. I mean, if you think about the history of baseball labor disputes, that's kind of how the negotiating works, is that a proposal is made and the players union does not like it, and it goes from there.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
You know, Corey, we were talking about how when initial offhand statements were made by some players while they were on Twitch about the situation, a lot of the public opinion was pro-owner, anti-player at that point. Since the owners released that statement, it has flipped. We're doing a Twitter poll, and obviously this is just small data, but all over it seems more and more fans are like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Did the owners, were they naive to not anticipate that they might have been overplaying their hand publicly and could turn the court of public opinion against them when it's usually almost always with ownership and not with the players?
Well, I think that one of the reasons that when that, you know, when Blake Snell on Twitch said what he said, I think one of the reasons that it was polarizing and why a lot of people did side with ownership is because of the way that Blake Snell conveyed his message. Like, what he was saying there was some validity to, but the way he said it was not going to make anybody feel comfortable at a time like this when there's 35 million people unemployed, hundreds of thousands of people personally affected by this. Like, I can tell you from a personal standpoint, my dad was suffering from coronavirus during that entire process. And I, you know, I saw those comments and I'm thinking in my head, like, really? Like, this is what we're arguing about? This is what we're talking about right now? You know, and that's something that, you know, that's a major factor right now is how all of this looks. The owners, they know that that they're the bad guys, or at least perceived as the bad guys when this stuff happens. What we're seeing more now of, though, is there's more public acknowledgement and more public realization that a lot of this stuff is being leaked by owners or the league. You know, a lot of the stuff has trickled out. Like, we've seen so many more leaks from that side than we've seen from the player's side.
Right.
And I think that now the people who follow baseball are smart enough to realize what's going on.
Yeah, and I've said I don't think some of the larger market owners trust, and that's been the word of the day on the show today, trust some of the smaller market owners in that way, because I always thought that some of this could be worked out amongst themselves before it even got to the players. Work out their business first in private since the books are mostly closed, and then come to the players figuring it out. I don't know what kind of business these guys like to do amongst each other, if I'm being honest. Do you think there's any validity to that?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know that, you know, there's been talks of and rumblings about collusion in recent years in free agency where, you know, agents and free agents have said, you know, it's a little bit too coincidental that teams have the same valuations on players.
Right.
And, you know, we had Jeff Francoeur, former Philly, former Brave, on the Phillies Talk podcast earlier this week, the NBC Sports Philadelphia, and he made a comment that, like, if you think there's collusion now, wait to see what happens if there's no season. What happens next year in free agency? What happens to those contracts? And when you see the whole league act kind of in lockstep. But, you know, I don't know. To be completely honest, I don't know enough about, you know, the inner workings of organizations like the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Kansas City Royals to be able to answer that in any definitive way.
Got you. Now, all right. First of all, is your dad okay now?
Yes. Thank you for asking. Yeah, he's kind of out of the woods.
That's good.
A little bit of a scare there, but not contagious anymore, and he's on the road to recovery.
That's obviously far more important than anything baseball-related. Now, I want to ask you, because it's a question I'm about to ask the listeners and the viewers. In sports right now in general, this is breaking away from the... Oh, I got two questions left. First thing is, do you think... to me, 4th of July weekend is very important for Major League Baseball. That makes it for a tight window. Do you think right now, and obviously you don't know, do you think there's baseball July 4th weekend?
Not regular season baseball. No, I just think that we're getting too close to this, you know, because it's May 28th right now. If you assume the players need, let's compromise between 2 and 3 weeks of spring training and say 2.5 weeks,
okay,
like 20 days or something like that. I just don't see how that's, you know, you have players some players are around their complexes right now already. So it might not be a big haul for them to get there if an agreement is struck in 3 days. It's just, you look at the entire clock of it, I don't see how we're going to have baseball the first week of July. I mean, hey, this could end in a couple days and I'm totally wrong. I'm just answering as of today.
Yeah.
But it just feels like it's more likely that we could see a regular season start later in July or perhaps even August. There was something today from Joel Sherman that laid out potentially a three-month season, August, September, October regular season, and the playoffs in November. So there are a lot of different options on the table. July 4th was like the most optimistic date.
And I do think that would hurt baseball, but that's just my opinion. And then in sports right now, in general, I'm throwing you this curveball. Who do, in all of the landscape of sports, it could be anybody, who do you trust in sports?
I mean, this is probably an answer that's come up before, but I would say Mark Cuban. I mean, he's the kind of guy that, you know, he's a billionaire, but he's a billionaire who doesn't think like a billionaire, at least publicly. You know, I trust a lot of what comes out of his mouth. I think of how he's reacted when the Mavericks have had, you know, a sexual harassment scandal, or they've had, the, you know, when the coronavirus struck. The way he handles things is typically, at least recently, has been better than what you've seen in other sports. So that would be someone, one of the rare owners who I think has a very high approval rating right now.
You're absolutely right about that. And Corey, thanks so much. I'm glad your dad's okay. I didn't even know you were going through that. So I'm really very happy that your dad's doing okay. And thanks so much for the time, man.
Appreciate you, Ty. Catch you guys later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.